cliffcentral.com.
Hey, you're with the Futurology Show. It's a karma start to today, because to be honest, I haven't got any of my planning up. I got my computer in front of me, but I'm not connected to the content. And that's important. And that's the show today. We're talking about the future of connectivity. So I have in the studio, we got Mr. Suren Govender.
That's right.
Thanks for joining us. We are talking the future of connectivity. We don't have Mr. Michael Cowan in the studio, which is actually quite spacey, quite roomy all of a sudden.
Oh, jeez. Hey, we can. A lot of space. Fat boy, we miss you, man.
Yeah. So, Brett Sinclair is with me.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We're so pleased to be back on the show again this week. I'm extremely excited about connectivity. I grew up in the world of connectivity, and it's the basis to everything. But we're definitely going to miss Mike quite a bit, because he really has some profound kind of statements where you and I tend to just bugger around, right?
That hashtag what Mike said. It's a real thing. But he's only a WhatsApp away, and I'm sure he's listening. So we love you, Mike, and let us know what your thoughts are and where we're going wrong, and we'll try and course correct as we go.
So I've got to admit, I downloaded a photo of Dr. Craig, and I've blown it up, and I've put it on my wall next to
the new man crush.
My new man crush, right? I can't stop thinking about him.
So if you're out there, run and hide.
That's terrible.
Fear is a great motivator for running, I suppose. So,
it is.
I mean, if Vitality started using fear as maybe the thing to get people fit, they could just use you as the poster child.
Well, I'm excited. Are you saying I should take a photo of myself and send it to Craig? I think that might go beyond a man crush.
Forget the boogeyman. BS is after you. So this is the time of the show where we do allocate it to a certain amount of nonsense. But we did have Dr. Craig Nozzle on show last week, and we were talking about the future of health. It turned into the future of gamification, the future of where of medicine, and wherever else we go, the future of us losing weight.
Back onto artificial intelligence, right?
Yes.
It's amazing how much data plays such an important role in every single business model that we're looking at the moment.
True.
I must admit, I was fascinated how they're really linking data to real human experiences, to how the body functions, the relationship to other people in society. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Absolutely fascinating.
So if you're listening to the show, you are on the Futurology Show, as you mentioned. We have a new at handle on Twitter that you can tweet us at.
Really sounds like you're not a digital person.
I'm not. That was awful. That was really bad. Tweet at us.
Ask a what?
What's an ad
what
handle?
What on earth are you talking
an
about?
An ad handle. Come on, guys. It's still an ad handle. Isn't it? Hashtag.
Okay,
isn't
that
still a thing?
Up. It's a new hashtag. It's an ad handle.
Yeah. Ad handle.
At leading trends right here. Come on. I can be the trendsetter. Even if I'm trend, like I'm Wolfpack of one, it's fine.
Listen, trend is something people meant to follow.
So okay. go follow us on Twitter at Futurology Show. And we're turning you guys off. It's great when the guest starts to dig in as well. Hey, it's really
even
fun.
Even before we get into our part.
So we might be talking to Suren Govender about the future of connectivity today. But yeah, so we are connected. You can follow us on Twitter at Futurology Show. You can follow me, the digital philosopher. I haven't given myself the introduction. So Brett Lindsay, the digital philosopher. We're all on Twitter. We're going to be tweeting away like crazy. Can I say that at least, guys? Tweeting? Are we still there?
Yes, we still tweeting. Some of us Instagram and a few of us Snapchatter.
But I was still Snapchatting.
Okay.
Are some of us still using Google Plus? Is that still a thing?
That hurts, eh? You went really low there.
Right to the nerve.
I thought you might mention MySpace, because there was something about this dude yesterday. $450 million that he sold it for.
What?
Did you know?
He sold again.
No, it got sold back again.
Back then. I was like, who's still selling it now?
I didn't even know that number, but anyway.
It's a bit like Artfuck. Remember Artfuck?
What?
The search engine.
I know we can swear, but really, come on, what are you saying?
It was a real thing.
Artfuck was a real thing. I think Naspers bought it for still the record cost per acquisition or user that any business has been sold for. Because I think they only had something like 100,000 users, and they sold it for hundreds of millions of dollars, or bought it for hundreds
of
millions.
So that's the thing. I mean, there's always a new platform. There's always a new type of infrastructure. There's always this new thing that everybody wants to be a part of. But that just shows there's so much space to get into it. And one of the things we're going to be talking to Suren today about is the future of connectivity, about backbone infrastructure, how do we get people connected, what are the different layers of connectivity, what it all means. And the one saying that you've got is the cloud starts in the ground.
The cloud starts in the ground.
with that, Siren, give us a bit of an intro.
I'm trying to pick. Is that called rain?
No, it's because evaporation, transpiration all happens. The water's on the ground.
Precipitation. It's a different thing you're on about.
Yeah, this cloud doesn't rain.
No. This cloud doesn't rain.
It pours.
although when it's not there, yeah.
Okay.
There are tears of rain. Yeah. Lots of tears.
So actually, tell us how you got into the connectivity game.
Yeah. So I started off with great aspirations to be this, the world's best electronics engineer. And I did that for about 2 years, I think, for some really, really, really impressive companies like Sprintnet and Eskom.
Yeah, they are fascinating. Did you know Brian by then?
No, I didn't know Brian then, eh?
Aim high. Yeah, your aspirations had you wearing a cape and wearing your underpants on the outside.
And I with a big B on your chest.
C-sharp.
Yeah, C-sharp. Sharp. So I started off in the telco space, and I think that was kind of foundation for me. It was the 90s, so internet was a thing. We were getting into it. I was one of those kids who had a Commodore. Hey, Brett, remember those things? Did you have a Sinclair? Because, must have, eh? Hey, come on.
Look, they made a computer after
me. Yeah, they made a computer. But I moved out of that, not out of that. I think the telco space was always an interest. It was always something that I was keen on staying in. IT and ops and sales and through various things. But over the years, I always had this like one foot in the telco space. Because that is the fact, right? The cloud, which wasn't a thing back then. It was a concept, but we didn't call it the cloud.
WAP.
Wow. Yeah. WAP.
Oh, WAP enabled. That's awesome, isn't it? It's a vacuum cleaner now. Hey.
What is today? Not Thursday, right? So why are you doing all these? No, stop it.
I forgot about WAP. Thanks for bringing that memory back. Jeez, I thought Edge was bad.
That's a disgusting memory. Let's be honest. Come on. I mean, I still had one of those. I don't know. It was some weird brand name phone, but it was WAP enabled, and there were all these WAP sites, right?
It was WAP enabled. Real WAP.
But
we know what kind of WAP that was.
Yeah.
Those kind of sites.
Those kind of sites, exactly. Those kind of sites. But it took long for the pages.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Too low, right? It wasn't even
vertical loading.
Vertical loading, line by line.
Text porn.
Text porn.
ASCII character pictures. That's awesome.
Oh gosh.
So we've come a long way since then. Yeah,
come a long way. So
look back, throw forward. Back. Try not to throw up.
No. We'll throw away. So I think I got squarely into it again when at Neotel.
Yep.
It was in the early days. It was cool back then because we were properly taking on Telkom. That was the master plan. Didn't quite execute that well because it was a race not just with Telkom, it was everybody else. And I think our history in the country, we're actually quite up there in terms of being early adopters, having a very high level of internet mobile penetration from a world perspective. But then I saw the other side of it, which was the consulting and part of it, both at IBM and Accenture, and then the infrastructure got was less important because you assume it's there.
Yeah,
right? It's there. It works, particularly with the kind of clients we were dealing with, mostly enterprise clients. Mm. So it was more on how do you make this thing make more money for you, or build better services for you, or integrate things better. So the focus started changing. My focus anyway. And then towards the end of last year, I figured, hey, running out of time, literally. You're looking good today.
Says the mirror.
Yeah, says the mirror. But it was time for me to go off and do something on my own.
Yeah.
Literally go and play in a space that I knew pretty well. But that wasn't sort of smoke and mirrors to keep with your mirror thing.
That's what you just said.
But doing my own thing was less important as opposed, because I think we all have this aspiration to still be socially relevant, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Especially coming through the era we've come and in the country we're in. So I couldn't just say, hey, this is about making money, or this is about being the biggest, baddest telco we could be. So yes, I have launched a telco.
That's impressive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the guys.
Can you tell us what it's called?
Yes, it's called Fibered.
Fibered.
But it's spelled the American way because. Yeah. we wanted to do that. Kind of looks better when you when you write type it out.
And how do you spell it the American way for those Americans out there?
Americans spell fiber, F I B E R.
E R.
The rest of the world spells it F I B R E. Yeah.
Okay.
The E D bit and then just didn't work with anyway, whatever.
Fibrid.
So you know, it's, you know, one says started a telco. Cool. So we're not going to be a telco.
Yes. Let's speak. So you're still aiming high, which is good.
Still aiming high, right? We're not going to be a telco in the sense that, and this is my diagnosis of what's happened out there, is that even telcos have started off saying, hey, I just want to do mobile, or I just want to do the infrastructure, or I just want to do enterprise clients. Guess what? They've all lost their way along the way.
Mm-hmm.
That is the reason.
Because everybody chases the money.
Everyone's chasing the money. You're chasing what ARPU? You're chasing number of subs and number of SIMs, and who cares?
Very traditional.
Who cares,
way of thinking,
right? Who actually cares? Because bottom line is, if you do what you do as in part of that value chain proper, right? You do it the best you can, dude. You're gonna enable the rest of the guys who are around you.
Correct.
That is a dangerous stance to take, because I'm literally saying I'm building this for you guys to exploit, but at the same time my customers need to be telcos. I don't want the Bretts as my customers, right? Because I'm not about to start up a call center and a
you should want the Bretts as your customers. There's so many of us.
Okay, we'll take a couple of Bretts. We'll take a few Bretts. No,
but you're right, the cost to serve is through the roof.
And it is, because we want to be everything to everyone. That never works, right? I mean, you're coming from your industry, same
focus
story,
is
right?
Critical.
The banks are the same dilemma right now. But anyway, coming back to what the connectivity focus is about. So we are going to be primarily in that infrastructure space, which is why I talk about the cloud starts on the ground. And if we look at who is the cloud relevant to today, it's actually everyone. Anyone who's connected, the cloud's relevant. And because this is it, the internet is the cloud. The services that we just pulling left, right, center, and I don't know how many apps on the phone, and that's just us on a mobile phone. Think about those big enterprises, those guys trying to do really big business, these big global players. For them, this is like a no-brainer. It has to be there, has to always be on.
Businesses don't even get started without considering being up there.
You don't
go, I'm going to build a laundrette. No. You go, I'm going to build a laundrette in the cloud. That's going to be a digital service.
Absolutely. Right? I mean, there's a client I'm working with right now, a big airports company. They are literally changing even what they want to be. Because you ask them, okay, we were just talking about the design thinking just now, right? You don't say, what must the app look like, or do you even need an app? What do you want to be in the next 10 years, 20 years?
What does success look like?
Yeah. Boom.
And you don't want to be an airports company. You want to be a digital business that runs airports, for example.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome. So it's also changing how we look at these enablers. This is an enabler. That's what connectivity is. Making it simple.
Sure. You're another telco. I'm sorry to say another telco. But there's that saying, if you can't be first, be better. If you can't be better, be cheaper. The big question with connectivity is that obviously the big goal is to get everybody connected. Bill Gates is talking about this massively connected world by the year 2035, and everybody's got banking and everybody's got information. How are we doing in South Africa right now? I mean, obviously we're not doing well enough that there's still room to move. There's still room to enter into the market. Yeah. So how are we doing, and how are you guys?
I feel like you're really hoping one day someone's going to say we're amazing.
Who?
South Africa. Ask that question.
How are we doing? I really do
you
think
ask
so.
That question every time. It's quite fascinating.
How are we doing
answers,
in South Africa?
Well, look.
But it's important because I live here.
We can't talk about South Africa without the African context.
Okay.
Right? Because for me, when I talk about my own social responsibility aspirations, and it's a personal thing, right? Each of us want to contribute in a different way. For me, when you say aim high or think bigger, it is about Africa. Because we're actually very fortunate. Yes, we are amazing. In Africa, we're amazing, right? Because I think it's like 60% of Africa's internet traffic is out of South Africa.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so we're actually rooting that much of the backbone. I guess we're sitting with all the gateways, right?
We are sitting with all the gateways. The sort of balance is tipping a little bit. But the reality is we got started sooner.
Yeah.
I mean, first internet connection back? 91.
Well, Mark and Elon needed to do something. So they were like, well, let's get some connectivity in this.
Back
second.
In Rhodes, eh?
Actually,
back in Rhodes.
I'm going to correct you.
What?
Apparently, it was on DARPANET in 1974 when they set the first international IP ping,
correct,
was actually over Transnet's network to the US. And the reason why I know that is I can't.
You were there.
You were there in nappies.
Vint Cerf.
Yes.
Was in South Africa, and he's on Google's board, and he came to meet with us, and he was speaking about how he loved being in South Africa in 1974, doing the very first international IP ping.
That's insane.
So I mean, we do have a lot of heritage, right?
Even we do. Look, the fact that it came out of the military, there you go, right? Because we were up there. We were spending a lot of
bulletproof.
Money. We were spending a lot of money on military stuff, right? But how amazing are we? In Africa, we rock.
Yeah.
Against the rest of the world, there's only about half of us in South Africa actually on the internet. That doesn't mean only half of us have actually seen the internet, right? But we're talking about people who have ready access, whether it's on a phone or a computer or whatever, have ready access. This is that internet penetration thing. Mm. So 50%, it's on the global, it's right on bang with the global average. But then US, Europe, high 80s, going to 90, something like Dubai or Israel. Israel's a good example, 98%. Mm. So do we want everyone connected? Well, that's this idealistic view we all have, right? Otherwise, this IoT dream and this wearable dream and the connected everything dream doesn't actually pan out. But what actually drives that is it's actually more of a class thing as opposed to affordability or the services or whatever, because we've got such a big class gap in South Africa.
Well, in Africa,
In South Africa.
Oh, really, starting right now.
Yeah, if you actually look at the size of that delta compared to, I'll tell you about the Sudan story soon, but I was in Sudan recently over the Easter weekend. That gap is actually smaller. We've actually got a big part of the population. Those guys are now going to pay 45% tax, who are in that bracket. Mm. It's actually a big number.
Yeah.
It's not like a couple of thousand people. It's a couple of hundred thousand people who are in that space. Whereas you go to a country like Sudan, you can count them. You can probably fit them in a one room in an auditorium. So it's a class thing first and foremost, and that actually brings out the relevance of why do you need to be connected. Well, for some people who don't have it, never had it, they don't miss it. Let's be honest. They get on with life. They're not doing too bad. They're not exactly middle class, but in their context, there is no middle class differentiation. It doesn't matter. So I think
it's in the same turn as someone who's never not experienced it.
Exactly,
it's
right?
It's part of your life. That's your expectation. So you know no different, right?
You don't know any different. And actually take that to the other end of the spectrum. Mm. Our kids, right? Mm. I mean, we walk with little kids. Mm. Little kids, they don't know the world without.
Can't put the combination of a pencil and a tape together.
My daughter saw a cassette tape the other day. I'm like,
it was
difficult to explain. So actually, it's what a CD used to look like, right? Because I slept. And CDs. Then she was like, I've been buying vinyl.
And she was like, "What's a CD, Dad?
Vinyl's back.
Vinyl's back in a big way. I'm about to spend a lot of money buying a new turntable.
Spending a lot of money. I hope it is. Just little segue. I had a conversation with a guy at Marshall Music yesterday, and he was telling me about these guys that are selling turntables, like Technics or some other brand, selling a turntable that's 900,000 rand. It's got a vacuum on the actual deck that actually sucks the vinyl down to make it flat. 900 grand.
You could pay me 900,000 and I'll pedal.
Well, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do the vacuum suction thing?
You'd be surprised.
I'll figure it.
So, segue over. No more vinyls.
No more vinyls. That's where we miss Mike.
To get us back on track. So, sorry, Mike. Here in spirit. The big question, though. Obviously, everybody's going to end up being a consumer. While you're not looking after the Brits, per se, as fibered, you're looking after the telcos, your backbone player.
Okay.
But ultimately, the only reason why you want connectivity is so that the end users and the end things...
Yes.
Have access.
Yes. So when I spoke about just now, picking one thing and doing that really, really well. When you do that really, really well, it means that you can squeeze out all of the wastage. You can optimize that spend. You know where every single cent is going, and you know why it's there. Because if it's not meant to be there, take it out. Now, that's the problem when you're doing cross-channel, cross-platform as a full-blown telco, all services. Those little gaps are necessarily built in,
yeah.
right? Otherwise, you can't actually translate from one layer of a service to the next. So when we're doing this really well, the big objective is actually to bring down the cost of data. Because if I can do it cheaper, quicker, at a higher scale, then the other traditional players who are doing too many things and they're distracted or they're not, you know, not focused on pulling out the value, that should bring down the cost to the Brits in the end.
Yeah.
But everybody needs to play the part, right? Yeah. I can't keep charging the same prices and expect because all I'm doing, if I'm giving it to you cheaper, then hey, you're making a whole lot more money than you should be. So it becomes a value game. And also, I think us playing in that layer where, you know, I anticipate most of my clients will be telcos or enterprise as opposed to Brits. Mm. It also forces them to relook at their pricing model, even at their value model.
Self-regulating, right? All of a sudden.
We'd like to think that.
Yeah.
We'd like to think that, but also at the same time, we are doing it transparently, right? Because we talk about open access, and then you still have, you know, the blocks, the accidental blocks that come in, whether it's just having access to sites or having permission to do things or at the pace at which you can do. So that value must get passed on. Mm. So if I say, hey, I'm one of the early parts in the value chain and I can release more value, then the expectation is everybody else does it too, up the chain. Yeah,
I think that transparency is really important. I remember Google was running a fiber project around one of the in Uganda. I can't remember what city it was. Kampala, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And the business model they went for was a set monthly price, unlimited, completely transparent. And the view was that would drive value. If all the players connect, then they all, someone is going to, of course, chase the price point and it'll force all of them down. I don't know how that panned out in reality.
Well,
views on that?
Yeah, look, so the Google thing was more than an experiment. Mm. Because what they did was, remember, they didn't just try this out because it was a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
They used all of this research they got access to and even all the behavioral data that they've got access to. And they figured, hey, people don't want capping. People want unlimited. They want the highest speed possible to get out of that fiber. They want to pay the lowest price, but they're prepared to pay, right? So today, if it costs me $1,000 to get a 20 meg line, it's probably too much, because I know that in other parts of the world, it's almost free. In fact, 20 meg you'll get laughed at, because who does 20 meg anymore?
Yeah, you turn your phone on.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you're chewing through all that
exactly,
usage,
right?
Even.
Exactly.
It's
so,
like when you get capped down to kilobits. You're like, you're not capping me.
No. And they call it a soft cap. I love
no,
it. We're just
no,
got a soft cap. You weren't turning
no
you off.
Thing. You know, and also, I guess, my sort of re-entry into this telco space, I've been looking at lots of the offers that ISPs bundle up.
Mm.
And what's startling is actually the variance. You could pay $1,000 for 100 megs, and you could pay up to R4,000 for 100 megabits. Now, why?
Not very clear on the differentiation on
no.
that price point.
And then also, you know, the guys who don't know, you know, it's this 100 up, 100 down, or whatever. Like, guys, cut the crap. They cut the crap and make it simple. You got a piece of, you got fiber in, and yes, there's a limitation on how you're going to how you're actually going to split that signal up, but it's not difficult. We've been doing this for a long time, yeah?
Mm.
So, if I want it, I should get it. Why are we still limiting?
Well, it seems very extortionist as well. I mean, it's like a bunch of hyenas looking at the wildebeest and picking out the sick ones. It's like, if you're going to pay $4,000 for 100 megs, then, oh, well, at least I got you. But until such time as you're informed. And it's not a great model.
It's not a great model.
But think of the user experience while trying to buy.
Mm.
So, you've got a user that's there. They're landed onto the site and they've got a selection of ISPs to pick.
Mm.
And the user's going to stall. Yeah. They're going to stall. They're going to stall because they can't decide what they want. They're going to walk off, speak to a million different other people and get recommendations. Yeah. You've got the user there. Simplify it and close the deal.
Correct.
So let's move away from connectivity, the service, and more to connectivity, the impact that it has. Mm. As more people start to get more connected, so we become more informed. Therefore, that extortionist business, I think I've made a comment on one of your tweets about broadcasters, that extortionist businesses are not going to exist because the transparency is going to be so vast. Everybody will know the truth. And if you don't know the truth, you're not that far from it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. We've seen the trend right throughout any sort of consumer service. So consumers ultimately will drive what the product ends off looking like.
Yeah.
Right? We know this. And in a space like connectivity, which is becoming quite integral to how we live and how we actually run our lives, the consumer is going to shape that as well. Now, we're starting to see, you know, different models of how people are sharing, right? Talk about the sharing economy. Hey, I'm not using that 100 megabits per second line every second of the day. I'm not. In fact, I'm probably not even hitting the soft cap, if there is one.
That's beautiful.
No, but as a telco, I shouldn't worry because I should have enough. And it should be at that cheap for me to get to pass on the access and pass on the capacity.
But that's a lovely model just for the end user, knowing that your whole family is there at a certain time of day. You want capacity in there, and just to set a flick a switch and say, "Well, I'm not here," or you can get judged by my user patterns.
Yeah,
really offload, put it back into the network like a smart electricity network. Put it back in,
correct,
for other people, and you're going to make better efficiency of it. And the user opts into that. I mean, that's a fabulous idea.
Yeah, I mean the whole pay-per-use model works. Let's take our Uber example, right?
Yeah.
Uber is pay-per-use.
Yeah.
Right? Now, it could very likely replace our cars. For some of my friends, it has. Mm. Yeah. Now, take the same model, which is a great model, the sharing model, and it's also this pay-per-use model, and apply it to other things. This is a commodity.
Mm.
Why am I being forced to buy a bundle and a package? I mean, it keeps product managers in business, I guess, right? Or product development people.
I'm actually a product manager. But anyway.
So you're not product manager, product developer.
Enjoy it while it lasts. Yes.
Well, it keeps you in business, right? Yeah. You're taking little bits and pieces and sticking them together, and half of it's not relevant. Yeah. I didn't ask for that.
Yeah.
I just want good, clean stuff. Right, yeah, that's what I ought to pay for.
You're right. That complexity of bundles, trying to keep yourself in a job rather than focus on the complexity of making it simple.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
Well, that's beautiful. That's
tweet.
That's good tweet.
Focus on the complexity of making it simple.
It's a good thing for your at handle, yeah.
Hashtag that hashtag. Your at handle. It. Yeah, okay.
Right now.
I'm not a millennial, bro. I'm just going to be awkward in the corner all of a sudden.
You could be.
All right. So, again, impacts.
Yeah.
Do you have something else you want to say?
I've got a question. No, on the impact thing.
Yeah.
I really like, I guess, being a data guy for a while. The stats, this one stat I hang on to because I haven't seen it translate in real numbers, but World Bank did this thing last year, and they reckon every 10% of internet penetration increase has a direct impact on, it's actually a 1.5% growth in the economy, not GDP, economy, right? Now, if we're at 50% right now, hey, I'll take a couple of percent of growth if we move it up a few 10%. And that, if you say that's the end game I want to be playing. Because that's impact, right? And yes, you can talk about how this thing rolls up and all the services that contribute to the 1.5%. Good. But if that's the bottom line, it's a good bottom line to be taken care of.
For sure.
The other part of impact is also, as we see more people connected, getting connected, more nations getting connected, their behaviors change, their consumerist behavior changes, their understanding of context, me as an individual in a village, in a country, in the world, on my continent, whatever, changes. I mean, we know way more every morning than we knew in a month a couple of years ago. Because this stuff is, we can select it, right? But it's hitting us.
All the chaos in the world that we've seen today has probably always happened.
It's always happened.
Just we now know more aware of it.
We just didn't know, right? and that is the other part of the impact, is that it comes back to transparency.
Mm.
And it's true transparency because I'm now, except in countries where I'm not allowed to view certain things, but I can now go and pull whatever I want. You can become an expert on anything in a couple of weeks, literally, if you wanted to.
So there's two points that we can take from that note is net neutrality.
Yeah.
Governments getting involved, and you mentioned, but what about e-gov? You want to come down, you want to start regulating, but then what are you doing on your end? let's talk about that for a bit. Net neutrality is such an important point.
Another reason why we're amazing in South Africa is that our government actually has a very positive view on net neutrality. So far, it's still, you know, from a policy development perspective, it's still in process. But, you know, the ministers, the past two, have supported that idea. That government's not going to restrict certain sites.
Okay, just explain. I'm not familiar with the policy, I'd love to get into it a bit more.
So net neutrality is basically saying free access to anything that's out there, including, you know, crazy stuff like the dark web. If I want it, I can go in there. I can fiddle and do whatever. Now, it comes back to this the censorship discussion. Because if we said we're not censoring what a newspaper says, but they can, you know, retract it or put in an apology, then why not the same attitude for every other media? Yeah. So that's right. actually where it hits us as being an open, transparent society.
Is it not also price point? So and shaping of the traffic? Because I remember in Google we used to talk about this a lot on the pros and cons, right? Mm. So all these large Silicon Valley businesses pay for a lot of the backbone, their traffic to be carried over the backbone. And your net neutrality is applying to your last mile, right? Where you kind of, if Google had to pay for their traffic to be prioritized on that last mile, surely there it comes at the cost of a non-smaller Google site that's going to be affected.
Yeah. Yeah.
That so, kind of stuff.
No,
as well, right?
I agree. It is the economic discussion on that is actually quite simple. Yeah. Right? Most of the traffic is getting moved on Google. A lot of the traffic is originating out of Facebook, which is no surprise. They both have massive submarine cable investments, right? Yeah. They own a lot of infrastructure. It's also why they're doing all these weird things with balloons and drones and and aeroplanes and satellites even. So that's great. But if you want to prioritize traffic, your traffic, then put up your own damn network. Do what I'm doing. Put up your own network.
There are easier ways to get 100 meg into your house.
There are easier ways, of course. Yeah, I've got a direct link into Seacom. I'm okay. But you know, I think as a societal impact question, net neutrality is important to economy. Number one, because it says I can participate in anything I choose to participate in. It also allows me to develop new things and play and experiment. If I'm suddenly restricted on certain content, and it is about a content thing, and then it's about how the content's delivered, the speed and the quality, etc. Yeah. But if you start combining those two things and saying, yeah, I'll still let you check out your porn site, but I'm going to throttle it just because it's porn or because we don't like you doing it. Hey, you're actually hitting me
on rights, right?
Yeah. And it goes against, I mean, in South Africa anyway, a constitutional perspective. Yeah. I have a right to have access to that, whether it is frowned upon or even illegal, right? I can Google to check where I'm going to buy medicinal marijuana. There's a whole host. They're all illegal right now.
I mean,
but if I block that because it's because the SAPs are going to look
exactly.
Yeah, so it's
and who do you block? When do you block them? How long are they blocked for? Is it a device thing that they're blocked on? Is it a societal thing?
It's the same thing as removing searches from Google. You can apply for it.
It's digital apartheid. It's awful.
It's digital apartheid. Wow. Tweet that.
Yeah.
At handle that, please.
I'm going to show you guys. I'm going to make a shirt that says at handle hashtag. I'm going to like it as well. And it'll only live on Pinterest, so it'll make any sense.
Do people still like stuff? Okay.
I don't know.
Just checking.
I don't know. It depends if I can access it or not.
Or do people still poke people?
Super poke sometimes. I have no idea, bro. I don't.
He's married.
Facebook is like a window to another world for me. It's not actively like a playground that I like to engage in. It's like this, that's nice. But so that's the thing, but I have the choice. Mm. I think this is critical as well. As humans, we have choice as to what we choose to engage with. Yeah. Net neutrality starts to remove that choice. And yes, there's economic and financial reasons as to why things should be throttled. But now, I don't care about that as the consumer. I've got my device. I want to be active. I don't want to have my WAP-enabled phone having less ability to access the information that my LTE phone can access.
Yeah. Look, I don't even think it's a consumer-centric view, right?
Sorry, I'm looking at him going,
Did you say WAP?
WAP, yeah, WAP enabled. WAP.
Well, it's just, I'm bringing references in from earlier in the show. Were you listening? You mentioned WAP.
He actually said it. Yeah. Okay, but it's actually not the net neutrality thing. If you actually, I don't know, look forward in the crystal ball a couple of years, the traffic's not necessarily only coming from consumers, right? You're gonna have bots and IoT things going nuts. Yeah. Try and throttle
a bot.
Try and throttle a sensor array. Try and throttle a machine that does its own thing, or a drone that's fully automated.
We have AI, but net neutrality dictates that you can't talk about certain things.
Like, well, the AI is going to control it, right? Yeah. But the reality is, as everything matures and evolves, it actually becomes a moot point.
Yeah.
Because as much as you're going to put stuff in there to throttle it, I'm going to put stuff in there to unthrottle it. Yeah. Or I'm going to go find it somewhere else. So the choice is actually really what it's about, right? So you've got to ingrain that in how you build services,
mm-hmm.
and also how you build up the service stack of getting connected,
okay.
however it might be.
What about the world of interconnectivity? Because the more players like yourself in this game, at the moment, it's a gentleman's agreement across certain mobile operators.
Is it? Is it a gentleman's agreement?
No.
See the guy with the boxing gloves on his hands.
Because if you go into Europe, I mean, it's a very, very complex, mature market. And I remember the interconnect billing systems were like trading systems.
Yeah.
And you'd route calls all over the world just to call your neighbor because that was the cheapest route. What's your view in South Africa on that?
So, you know, the gentleman's agreement actually isn't one. It's actually quite regulated.
Okay.
Right? So for the pricing structure is regulated.
Okay.
But more importantly...
Oh, yeah. That's why they threw their toys.
Exactly. Right? Everyone got unhappy about it. But bottom line is there is a level of... hate saying this, but it's a level of collusion.
Yeah.
Because we have to, that's where the gentleman agreement comes in, is that, hey, I can't afford to do it for anything less than, I don't know, 20 cents.
It's an interconnect.
Right? And it's an interconnect.
It's an offload.
It's an offload, exactly. But so if you actually strip away everything, technically, and this is now, when I say technically, I mean economically, from an economic perspective as well, technically, voice calls should be free. They should be free. In fact, right now...
It's the only way to get people to start using them again.
Yeah, but do you want more voice traffic? This is the question, right? Because it just perpetuates this archaic view of why telcos exist, you know, so that I can call you up. Or now the data question is a different thing. And here's the problem we have now, is that voice is moving onto data platform.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Voice is not running on voice as it used to be. It is a level of convergence, service convergence, but it's also how we, and again, this is the behavioral thing, our choice. It's how I choose to communicate or use the device or use the service. So are we going off a little bit?
No, that's perfect.
Okay. So I also want to, you know, the gentleman's agreement is not unique to South Africa. It's not even unique inside certain countries or inside certain continents. At a global level, we actually have these sort of gentleman agreements in place. But the bigger you are, the bigger your voice, the more influence you have. And I'm actually looking forward to starting to see the really big players take a big position on this. The Googles, Facebooks, as their networks come up, and yes, they want to push their content or push their actually they're collecting data. That's what they're really doing. But as they do that, that starts taking out the older players or even reducing their level of influence. So yes, the reason why we come in is there is still space for more of us, and there's also more space for us to challenge. With doesn't have to be a radically different concept or radically different approach or business model. It just has to be challenging in some way.
Yeah.
Right. So even if it is going to, you know, price, that's okay, because we can do it cheaper. We can do it quick and faster. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's 15 or so minutes left in the show. We've got to throw forward. Obviously, and I've got a bunch of questions that I want to throw at you, but I think we're probably gonna have to leave some of them. So there's gonna be some things we don't get to today. Bill Gates has made a number of predictions in the past. Some of them, and we spoke about it before the show, is how much of an impact connectedness or connectivity is going to have on Africa. He says that Africa will become entirely self-sufficient due to the nature of farming being the biggest, like 1 in 7 people in Africa are a farmer, self-sufficient. The reason why their crops aren't as successful is because they don't have access to what the best season is to plant something, how to better get your soil ready,
distribution,
weather, what the market price is doing, or what I should be planting, or what I shouldn't be planting.
Yeah.
Now, get these guys connected. Fantastic. They start to become more self-sufficient. That leads to them needing, they're making more money because they're more productive. They need electronic banking. Now they've got electronic banking. Now they can more transparently interact financially with their peers. So they don't need to necessarily have to be, the liquidity crisis of cash is becoming a thing of the past. Yeah. He made a bold statement saying that in 2035, poor countries will no longer exist. This idea that everybody, and it's, we've spoken about UBI, maybe that being a thing about it, but it's actually this idea where everybody has the potential to change the world we see today because we're part of it. Mm. And the more we all become digitally connected, the more everybody has to be. It becomes an imperative. This luxury that we have of fiber is actually more of a necessity to the farmers throughout Africa. Mm. And you're doing it by the ground, and I applaud you. I think it's really cool. You guys are going to go in the ground, you're going to lay cable and get that glass going.
Digital farmers, eh?
So I was about to say.
Digital farming.
I was going to say, sew the cable.
Okay. Farming fiber. The fiber farm. If you ever want to change fiber, maybe it's been taken. It's so good, it's probably been taken.
So I actually want to just, I like this Bill Gates story, right?
Yes.
Mm. I was in Sudan a couple of weeks ago over the Easter weekend. It was obviously first time there. Everyone was saying, are you crazy? Why are you going there? It was the north. The South Sudan is actually a different country. But I actually went in to do a conference, digital marketing conference in Khartoum. And at the end of the conference, we had quite a few good business meetings. You know, CEOs of telcos and Minister of Telecoms and the Reserve Bank, etc., etc. So kind of where I traditionally would have gone, consultant hat on. Yeah. And then, you know, at the end of it, about 2 weeks later, I called my business partner up there and I said, okay, so what are we actually going to do now? Because we need to, you guys are keen. We've got some skills and some capability. What are we going to bring? And he said, look, we're actually not going to do any of those things that we spoke about. We're not going to do the telco. We're not going to do the enable digital bank and blah, blah. Said, but then why did we have those meetings? He said, that helped me realize that the market we have to go after is agriculture.
Yeah.
So I immediately said, okay, cool. Precision farming. I was like, what's that? Sent him some stuff.
Yep.
Said, yeah, but the problem is we don't have connectivity. I said, absolutely. Good reason to get connected. Now, I mean, and it literally builds onto that. And this is in Sudan, which is, you know, weeks away from getting out of sanctions after 20 years. Their internet penetration is like almost 10%, 12%, something silly. That is a great place to go and test it. Because if they have an appetite for it, then hey, ruled KwaZulu-Natal as an appetite for it, because the profile of how people are making money or how they're surviving is exactly the same. They've got good soil, they've got good rainfall, they've got some, you know, agricultural skills, but you could literally, I don't know, 2x, 3x, 5x their yield, the quality, their markets. But now that has a dependency on that old logistics chain. The banking, et cetera.
So the logistics will be improved by it because they've got coverage. They can start understanding the efficiencies and rolling out the right kind of
interpreting the historical data that exists to make better decisions for the future.
Well, and it's even, hey, I mean, if I could do a spectrum analysis of the soil right there and then,
boom,
you know, on a little $100 device connected to my smartphone, I know, hey, this soil, I should be doing tomatoes instead of cucumbers.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's that true leapfrog that we always spoke about. Yes. Africa will leapfrog.
Yes.
But actually, we're now putting cable in the ground, but it's state of the art. There's no legacy. We're putting data in the air.
Yeah.
Again, it's state of the art. There's no GPRS. So, you know, you're going straight to LTE.
Just on the farming thing, Mike did a show called Changing Farming Through Big Data. Mm-hmm. So if you'd like to hear any more about how farming is actually being changed on the ground using big data and actually connecting, we've got a podcast way back when, so go back and listen to that if you're listening. But it is phenomenal how literally it's changing things on the ground. Everybody's like, hey, let's look at the cloud. No, but it's changing things here, now, where we are. Mm. We don't need to worry about where the cloud is. It's just a computer somewhere else. But we're here, and how does it affect us today? I think that's where critical. The Futurology show seems to be highlighting that a lot. Every time we have a different topic, it always comes back to, what are humans doing? The tech is amazing.
Yeah.
But what are humans doing?
No, this is the thing. You have to bring the focus back to human.
Yeah.
Right? Because this is why we're here. It's for us. It's, yes, you know, if your end game is make a big pile of cash, you're not going to do that alone. Right. You have to take this whole human race along with you.
Yeah.
And even if there's sort of stuff that falls off and, you know, living on the crumbs, that's also okay.
Yeah. Mm.
And we're saying, okay, don't just live on the crumbs. We're enabling big business. We're enabling people who can afford it. At the same time, we're passing your village.
Yeah.
Now, your village is not going to get FTTH. That's for sure. Mm. But we can do a pretty cheap Wi-Fi mesh. Cover the whole village.
There you go. Thank you.
Share the data.
It's right?
More than you had. And now there's the opportunity to what services are going to be exposed to me. Do I really care about Facebook? Maybe. But do I care about precision agriculture? Different story. Yeah. Right? And I can only do that if I am connected. It's like maybe once a day or twice a day. Yeah. It doesn't have to be all time. But and then the other end of the scale of real precision agriculture is bots or robots.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Automated tractors.
These things, literally, there are huge tracts of land in the U.S. that are never seen by a human. Right? Because it's just the machines that go plant, water, harvest, you name it. Now, that's the other end of the scale. Mm. That's actually not necessarily the end of the scale Africa wants to be on.
Correct.
Africa, we still want it to be labor.
Help me where I am.
Yeah.
I'd like to actually understand the scale of coverage across Africa, right? Because we always, like South Africa, big country.
But Africa's huge.
We usually talk about we're going to go into Africa, and I keep thinking of that map with China in it and America in it.
We're big.
To be able to scale access across there. I'd love to get your view on that.
Yeah, look, so there's 1 billion people to connect in Africa.
Mm.
And only...
With a B.
For Barrett.
Yes.
There's 1 billion. And only actually, it's I think it's 29 or 30% who actually have internet.
Yeah.
So
opportunity.
Opportunity number one. But that also comes with a challenge. How on earth do I cover this amount of ground? So I like the some of the cool things that are being played around with, Google's loons, balloons, the
satellites,
Musk satellite, 4,500 satellites, and they could do it, right? I
think that's going to hamper his Mars exit strategy. Yeah, I'm going to put a shitload of satellites around the planet, and then I'm going to try and leave the planet somehow.
crash through your satellite matrix. Musk and his satellites, and Facebook doing their drones, and their plane. Yeah. So hey, they're all options. Great. Whatever the answer is, it actually doesn't matter. Because we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And
what is the goal?
Exactly, right? I mean, you're gonna go to Mars. How? Who cares? We're gonna get there, right? Or we're gonna connect Africa. Yeah.
It's hard to stop the person that doesn't give up.
Yeah. Right. Now we've actually got some pretty good stories.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess sometimes countries like Egypt don't like to be necessarily considered as part of Africa, but Egypt's a great internet story.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the reason why you had this whole revolution, because 86% of Egyptians are connected, right? So. And
it's because I put a beacon on each of the pyramids. Mesh.
They're not that big. Actually, interesting, useless fact. Sudan has more pyramids than Egypt.
Awesome.
No, you're kidding me.
Yeah, so actually it was a silly idea. We said we could just drop them on your pyramids. I don't think they'd want to do that. But to connect Africa, you know, even in a village, coming back to the sharing thing, if one guy has real connectivity, nothing stopping him to share that, to do a peer-to-peer connection, right? So the technology options are endless, and there's going to be more, and there's going to be cheaper ways. And yes, we can look forward to a time where it costs almost nothing, because that's what it should be. How much do you pay for water? Almost nothing. Yeah. Can't say the same for electricity, but it needs to be that easy to get and easy to use. That's where the value comes. That because the last billion. Africa is the last billion. It's the last billion of opportunity.
Yeah.
That's where I see it. That last billion has to be enabled, and the leapfrog has to happen. Otherwise actually there's no option. I think Bill's onto something.
He's onto something. 2035. It sounds far enough, but it's really not. It's around the corner. I mean, for 1 billion people in the next 17-18 years.
I'll be 47 then.
I thought you were 47 now, so that's my shock, actually.
Yeah, there's a pension there.
Low. It was nice. So, we've got a couple of minutes left. Futurology Show, Dare to Explore the Future. Connectedness and new things to new places is creating old things to fall away. Disruptions happening all over the place. But what are your things that you're excited? Where are you looking? What are you... What are you expecting to happen in certain sectors and certain industries? And then we'll throw more into the future about what you're hoping for.
Okay, so what I'm expecting is that we will maintain our, in South Africa anyway, we will maintain our stance on this being open access.
Yeah.
That it is, you know, there's choice. I'm expecting that, but along that comes some baggage. Because the history and the gentlemen's agreements and all of those good things are still going to inhibit the pace at which the change happens, right? Mm-hmm. So, yes, more people are going to be connected, and we will become a real digital nation. There's no question.
Yeah.
We're seeing it all over the place. I mean, if my gardener is on Facebook, literally, right? And that's current reality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do I hope will happen is that there actually is no regulation.
Yeah.
Because as soon as the only reason we're regulating this right now is, yes, it's about spectrum and it's about this and that. Dude, there's no spectrum in fiber. It's light going through glass.
Yeah.
Done.
Go.
Okay. How do I get it to my phone? Ah, there's a spectrum problem. Mm. In the future, am I still using GSM? Probably not. Probably not. Right. You're going to find that there's going to be a different medium to be connected. Whatever that is, it's going to come from somewhere else.
It might even be light.
It might even be light. And actually, it is done, right? It has been done. So we will advance it. And I think the traditional models, they're not just going to kind of go away quietly. They're actually going to just explode won't exist anymore.
Sure.
Completely gone. So that's the scary part. Yeah, and I want that. Yeah. I really want that because that's the real disruption.
Yeah.
This industry is definitely needs disruption because it's had the status quo for far too long.
Yeah.
I mean telco as a business is, you know, 100 years old.
Yeah.
And it hasn't actually changed that much.
I felt an interesting disruption on that point coming through was around the SIM card.
Yeah.
So the operators have always controlled it by owning the SIM card, and Apple announced the other day that they're going to build a SIM card directly into their devices.
Yeah.
That's a big play against all the operators. It's really kind of saying,
yeah,
you're just connectivity.
It is. And I mean, there's a bunch of other options today. I mean, you can buy a little second SIM that you can stick onto your current SIM card and opens up a whole bunch of other networks. So, yes, that is coming. Yeah. The fact that you still have a SIM card, though, is problematic.
Yeah. Mm.
Because that means you are metering me and you're billing me. And no, I should be in control. Yeah. Right, I should pay as I use. I mean, the Wi-Fi roaming concept, great concept, but I'm still getting nailed because it's more expensive.
Yeah.
Right, so yeah, that is an evolution of the tech that is going to be disruptive. Look, Samsung have done it already. It's not that just
oh,
that,
okay.
yeah,
that.
Just
okay.
that Apple are doing it on a more well
public
public.
So. Bigger platform.
Cool. So, have to throw forward some more. Unfortunately, time marches on. Doesn't matter how much we talk about where we're going. The future of this show is bound to end. You can catch it if you've just tuned in now to The Futurology. We've been talking to Seren Govender about the future of connectivity. You can catch this podcast if you've just tuned in now, along with a lot of the other podcasts. We are on iTunes on things, so go subscribe, give us a 5-star like. Love everything about us, and that will just keep us doing this, which is amazing. Seren, the big question that I find from a human perspective, do you ever disconnect? Are you in a place where you can disconnect? Mm. And are you in a place where you choose to disconnect?
Mm. So I think the big difference for me is what I was doing at that time.
Mm.
So busy consulting life at Accenture meant I had to always be connected.
Yeah.
So I did have to do it consciously. Right, so there weren't many opportunities, but I did it consciously. Now, as an entrepreneur and a little bit more free time and time to think, it naturally happens, and it's amazing how it's changed. That first month, I was still looking at my mail all the time.
Yeah, but
there was no mail because I wasn't getting these 500 a day in this
big constant cover off.
So. The FOMO is
today on one day only. You can buy that's the highlight of your email, dude.
Correct. But the FOMO is gone now.
Yes.
I think it actually is quite a personal thing.
Yeah.
It is important to disconnect because that feeling, it is a feeling, by the way, when you are disconnected. It's you're taking a breath.
Yeah.
It's important to do it. We used to talk about doing this digital diet even. Where,
oh, wow.
Yeah, you literally take everything digital away.
We've spoken about digital apartheid, digital farming, and digital diets.
Digital diets, yeah.
It's wild. Yeah. This is a great show,
yeah. Yeah, so digital dieting, very important. It's as important as dieting from having a good nutritional diet.
Yeah.
But it forces you, whether it's time-based or whether it's event-based or whether it's location-based, do it, right? Beautiful. Because if you build that into how you stay human. Yeah. We won't become these androids walking around. Because, by the way, that's the future of your mobile phone, right? It's going to be a chip in your head.
Yeah, continuously connected. Right?
Do you want that? No, I don't think so.
So, for our listeners, once you've finished listening to our show, try a digital diet.
I did.
Yeah, yeah. Don't diet before you've listened to the show. Thanks. Hashtag we love you. So, once again, thank you so much, Seren, for joining us today on the show. The future of connectivity and all the things that are going to come from it. You guys are definitely the central nervous system of the planet.
I like that too.
So, it's really, really cool. BS, anything from you before we close?
I'm really excited for Seren. I think he's changing the world in the right space. I'm excited for you. I'm going to follow you. I'm really excited that last week I learned about dieting with data. This week I'm going to literally digitally diet. Thank you for being on the show. Fantastic.
No, thank you. And it's been fun. And it's actually given me a whole bunch of new at handles to use in the future.
You're awesome. That's awesome. So please follow us on Twitter at Futurology Show and go subscribe by iTunes. We'd love the support. 5-star reviews only, please. If you really don't like us, tell us as well and we'll change it.
Not really.
But yeah, we got some great shows. So if you've just listened to this, it's the first time you've heard us, go back into the catalogs and listen to some of the amazing things we've spoken about. And there's only more amazing things to come. So thanks for listening. The Futurology Show right here on Cliff Central. CliffCentral.com